So we're in the first chapter of Mark. One of the ways you can look at the first chapter of Mark is this is a 25-word or less outline of Yeshua's entire ministry. The first thing he does is tells them to repent. Next, he tells them that the kingdom of God is near, the gospel. The next thing he does is he heals people and then casts out demons. That's basically his entire ministry. Repent, believe in the gospel, which is the kingdom is at hand, heal people, cast out demons, rinse and repeat. He does it every place he goes. Furthermore, when he sends his disciples out, both while he is still there and then after his resurrection, the instructions are exactly the same. Preach the gospel, make disciples, heal people, cast out demons. That's the whole four gospels in the book of Acts. Now, lots of details, lots of great stories in there, and there's lots of other stuff in there, but the essence of it is preach the gospel, heal people, cast out demons. So, let's talk about demons. Demons are only mentioned three times in the Tanakh. They are mentioned 71 times in the New Testament. Unclean spirits aren't mentioned at all in the Tanakh, I don't believe, and 23 times in the New Testament. Unclean spirit and demon are synonyms for the same thing. So we got almost 100 mentions of them in the New Testament. I will gently suggest that might be important if God gives it that much bandwidth. In the Old Testament, one mention of demons, and that's in Deuteronomy 32. And this is Moses at the end of his ministry. So I'm in Deuteronomy 32:15. But Jeshurun grew fat and kicked. He grew fat, stout, and sleek. Then he forsook God who made him and scoffed at the rock of his salvation. They stirred him to jealousy with strange gods. With abominations, they provoked him to anger. They sacrificed to demons that are no gods, to gods that they had never known, to new gods that had come recently, whom their fathers had never dreaded. You were unmindful of the rock that bore you, and you forgot the God who gave you birth. That's basically it in the Tanakh. Yet, by the time we get to the New Testament, we got over 100 references, and it becomes a major part of his ministry and a major part of the instruction of his apostles as they go out. What changed? Well, one of the things I will suggest to you changed is Moses says, don't mess with other spiritual beings. You got one connection, that's God and his spirit. Don't mess with anything else. They didn't do that either. What they did, as they went into idol worship and all of the things that they went into, and you've read all the stories in the Old Testament, is they let demons into themselves and into their congregation. So by the time we get to the New Testament, demons are a major problem. They weren't intended to be a major problem. God warned them over and over and over again, don't mess with this stuff. They didn't listen. So by the time we get to the New Testament, as I say, demons are now a major problem. And it becomes a major part of his ministry and a major part of the instruction to his apostles. Somebody once said, a long time ago, that Satan's greatest success is in convincing people he doesn't exist. So there are lots and lots of people out there that say, oh, that's all a bunch of hooey. They don't exist. There's a Hebrew word for that. It's called baloney. They do exist. And they're a major part of the New Testament. What I will suggest is for all those people who are not interested in demons, there's again another quotation. I think it was Churchill. You may not be interested in war, but war may be interested in you. You may not be interested in demons, but demons may be interested in you. In fact, they are if you allow them to be. So there's two errors. Error number one is to ignore them, and that sort of leaves you defenseless. Error number two is to see a demon under every bush. Everything that goes wrong, there must be a demon there. Everything that goes wrong, the enemy is after me. Both of those are errors. The error on everything is a demon lets you off the hook for your own sinful stupidity. Most people are very able to get themselves into all trouble without any help from demons, thank you. And that includes us. So when you got trouble, don't just immediately say, I'm dealing with a demon. Say, what did I do to get here? Now, what you did to get here may have been opening the door to a demon. That's entirely possible. Notice how I said that. How you got there may be opening the door to a demon. Oh, wait a minute. So you mean if you got demons messing with you, that also may be your own fault? Remember back in the Torah, God says don't mess with any of that stuff. Israel ignored them. So by the time we're in the New Testament, demons are a major problem. They're a major problem because they were allowed in. One of the nice things about demons, if there is any such thing, is demons follow God's rules. Their natural prey is people who don't follow God's rules. You'll make a mistake if you think that the only reason Yeshua was able to identify them and cast them out is because he is the Son of God. He gives that authority to his disciples. So it is not the case that he is able to deal with them simply because he is the Son of God. Now, don't get me wrong. When he deals with them, it's authoritative because he doesn't mess around and he doesn't do anything wrong when he does that. When we do it, sometimes it's kind of hit and miss. But the point is, demons follow rules, and the rules are set up by God. The natural prey of a demon is people who don't follow God's rules. Hence, one of your first defenses against these things is to understand God's rules and, to the best of your ability, follow them. And if Israel had done that, demons wouldn't be the problem that they were by the time we get to the New Testament. The other problem is attributing every malicious thing that happens to a demon. And one of the things we have in today's gospel is Yeshua preached the gospel, he healed people, and he cast out demons. Notice those are two different things. Casting out a demon is not the same as healing. Now, demons can cause physical problems, in which case the physical problem remains until the spiritual problem is corrected. But there are also physical problems that happen just because we live in the world and we have got a perishable body. So when you're dealing with somebody who's sick, do not just assume you've got a demon after you. No, you may just be sick. And Yeshua is able to discern those things. So sometimes when people came to him, he healed them. Sometimes he said, demon, and the person was then healed. There is a spiritual gift for that. I'm in 1 Corinthians 12. Now there are varieties of gift, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. To each is given a manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Why are you given a manifestation of the Spirit? To help other people. So don't get really excited when you get a spiritual gift and say, wow, look at me, ha ha, God's given me a spiritual gift. No, he's given it to you so you can help somebody else. Verse 8, to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit. Notice a gift of healing. To another, the working of miracles, to another, prophecy, to another, the ability to distinguish between spirits. Notice the ability to distinguish between spirits is different than the gift of healing. Two different problems you're dealing with. To another, various kinds of tongues, and to another, interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit, who apportions to each one individually as he wills. So as you're going through this world and you're seeing stuff that's gone wrong, one of the gifts that is very useful in that is the gift of discerning of spirits. And by the way, you know how you get spiritual gifts? Ask for them. So when you're in a situation and you're not sure what to do, ask God. God, sir, Lord, right now it looks like I need this gift. Would you please give it to me so I can figure out what to do here? And very often he will. So if you need a spiritual gift, ask for it. As you're going through life and you find problems either in yourself or somebody else, and you don't know what the problem is, ask for a gift so that you can then do what you need to do, whether you need to bind them up or whether you need to cast something out. Yeshua was able to make that discernment because he's the Son of God and he had the Holy Spirit. So he was able to access all of those spiritual gifts whenever he needed them. And so he was able to look at this guy and say, be healed. Pick up your bed, walk out of here. He was able to say to another one, unclean spirit, come out of him. Because he had that gift of spiritual discernment. One of the things about demons is they're hidden in plain sight. One of the triumphs of Satan is convincing people it doesn't exist. The same thing with unclean spirits, convincing people that they don't exist, which means that those people are defenseless. Most of those people also don't walk according to God's rules. And the combination of being defenseless and not walking according to God's rules makes life difficult. To quote John Wayne, life is hard, but it's harder if you're stupid. God gives you everything that you need to know. That's why he wrote it down. And that's why, by the way, the New Testament, besides it's the record of the acts of God, is extremely important, because the discussion of spiritual warfare and so forth in the New Testament doesn't mostly exist in the Old. So that's a major advantage. He teaches us about these things. And by the way, you know, all sorts of people speculate all over the place about where they are, what they are, where they came from, all that. I will tell you, I don't know. All I know is that they exist. They're malicious, which is to say, they don't like you. They wish you harm. Everybody has got built-in character flaws. We get issued from our mother that way. Some of us have a problem with pride. Some of us have a problem with greed. Some of us have a problem with telling the truth. All of us are different, which is why you want to be in a congregation, because your problems and my problems are going to be different, and we can build each other up. But the point is, all of us come with these predilections of things that we find attractive that God says we shouldn't. What a demon will do is come along and he'll whisper to you, oh, look at that. Yeah, it's okay. Yeah, you really want that, don't you? Oh, it's okay. Don't worry about it. It'll be fine. What you do is you follow your inclination, which is built into you, and you wind up in a spiritual mess. Demons will take you in a direction you want to go, but they will take you way farther than you wanted to go there. Maybe just a little dabbling with this right now, but by the time the demon's done with you, you're way out in the cornfield somewhere, and you got major problems. So what they do is they find out what it is that you're interested in, and they whisper in your ear. And because they're whispering something you're interested in, you listen to them. What winds up happening is way out there. And what God tells you is, oh, you know this thing that you're interested in and you're listening to the demon about? It says here in Deuteronomy, don't do that. That's how they work. And they follow rules. If you identify them and you're able to say, wait a minute, this isn't me. This is something whispering in my ear. You are then empowered in the name of Yeshua to tell them to take a hike. You don't want to deal with them anymore. Now, one of the things to understand is the little rascals are persistent. So you tell them to take a hike. A couple days later, did you really mean that? Look at this thing that you want to do. Did you really mean that? And if you say again, take a hike. It'll take a while, but they'll finally give up and leave you alone. It takes a while, though. The first time you say, get out of here, okay, we'll stop this conversation, but next Tuesday we're going to take it up again, and we're going to talk to you some more. Until finally they realize, no, that's attractive to me, but no, I'm not going to do it. And once they realize that, then another one will come on and find something else. Don't get me wrong. Satan is persistent, if nothing else. And they'll try something else. By the way, sidetrack, spiritual strongholds. and thought about this for a long time. A spiritual stronghold is when you entertain a demon and he invites his friends. So what you've got now is you got a pack of them you're dealing with. What they'll do is they'll reinforce each other. So say you've got a spirit of anger, a spirit of fear, and a spirit of greed. And you say to the spirit of greed, get out of here. The spirit of fear will say, wait a minute, if you don't take that, you won't have enough. So what they'll do is they'll reinforce each other and they'll talk among themselves to you, which is why spiritual strongholds are so difficult to get rid of. Because you're not just dealing with one problem, you're dealing with three or four, all of which are attractive to you, by the way. Every time you try and clean up from one, the other two or three or however many legion will come and say, well, no, you really don't mean that. No, that wouldn't be safe. You can't do that. And that's how they work, which is why spiritual strongholds are so difficult. Because you got a team of them working on you. One of the things that occurred to me, cell phones. I am coming to the impression that cell phones are a major gateway. Think about it a minute. What they are is a small screen that's right in front of your face, and everything on the internet is available to you. And it's not like you're sitting in an office and you're opening up a 36-inch wide screen and watching porn, and everybody in the office can say, what are you doing? Well, you can slip over there for a few minutes and nobody will ever know. I'm not against cell phones. Cell phones are fine, but just understand that they can represent, if you let them, a gateway. Just be aware of that. One of the reasons that demons get to you is curiosity. And by the way, when you think computer virus, think demon. The same mechanism. One of them's in your head, one of them's in your machine, but it's the same mechanism. So anyway, one of the things that Yeshua says over and over again in the gospel is, you have authority over these things. So I'm in Mark chapter 16. And Yeshua said to them, go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. Isn't that what he started with? Proclaiming the gospel. To whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up serpents with their hands, and if they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt. And they will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. Well, isn't that what we just saw in chapter 1 of Mark that Yeshua is doing? That's his whole ministry while he's walking on the earth. Declare the kingdom of God. Get people to repent if they will. If they won't, get crucified and save everybody. But in the meantime, heal the sick, preach the gospel, cast out demons. Isn't that what happened at the end of the book? Heal the sick, preach the gospel, cast out demons. That's what we're supposed to be doing. And God, in his infinite mercy, gave us the tools to do that. One other thing. When people find out about demons, they get all fired up and they want to cast demons out of everybody. That's not a good idea. Because if you cast a demon out and you don't replace it with the Holy Spirit, the person out of whom you cast it is going to be worse off than when you started. And there's a scripture for that, by the way. I'm in Luke chapter 11. When the unclean spirit has gone out of a person, it passes through waterless places seeking rest. And finding none, it says, I will return to my house from which I came. Remember, that was what I told you. You cast them out, and next Tuesday, you really mean to cast me out? Was that, you were serious about that? No, you couldn't have been serious. Okay, so that's what he's saying. He'll go back. And when he comes, he finds the house swept and put in order. Then it goes and brings seven other spirits more evil than itself, spiritual stronghold. And they enter and dwell there. And the last state of that person is worse than the first. The whole point is, if you've got somebody that has a spiritual problem and you have the gift of the discerning of spirits and you're sure what you're doing, the other thing is this person willing to become a disciple of Christ? Is he willing to accept the Holy Spirit? Is he willing to come into the kingdom? Because if he's not, casting out a demon isn't going to last very long, and what's going to happen is he's going to be worse off than when he started. Ask for the gift you need, assume you have it, and then act.